you, Lord God. So before I start, I just want to share a poem that I wrote recently. I used to write when I was younger, but I kind of put it down. But lately, I had went to a couple of poetry events, and it kind of inspired me to get back writing. Excuse me, y'all, my voice, throat kind of hurt today, but God. This poem is called, "This is the Love of God." This is the love of God, that you are mindful of me. You're the king of the world, yet you died on a tree. The Christ crucified, my sins you justified. They thought it was over, but your glory was amplified. No, they didn't upper hand you, God. This was the plan of God. You are a man of God, in fact, man and God, and you died. This is the love of God. No, they didn't kill you. Your life you freely gave. They tried to take it, but you laid it down so the world could be saved. And even though you made the way, your people still won't behave. The life we give ourselves to is not the life you died to send us through. So God, how can this be true that we were created just like you? If you are the creator, then our identity must be found in you. Your word continues to persuade us that in your image you have made us. And when our sins delayed us, you already forgave us. See, the enemy, he hates us. That's why he degrades us. But you don't let us go because, God, you're so gracious. This is the love of God, that his love is contagious and his mercy sustains us. When you hung on that cross, sending cries out to space, stretched out in pain, but you stayed because you remembered my face. I was the liar, the fornicator, the homosexual, the cheater, the manipulator, and you still took my place. The Savior, pure and holy, on 1,000 hills you own the cattle. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He walked this earth without spot, blemish, or sin. How could I not give my all to the one who forgives me again and again? This is the love of God, that he will buy us back to redeem us. He calls us his own. This is how he esteems us. Even when we're acting crazy, he still says you are mine, not calling us as we are, but what he created from the beginning of time. But see, we're running out of time, so run to his arms and don't wait for the last talk. Come with all your sins like the woman with her alabaster box. Wash his feet with your tears, let him cast away your fears, and even all the unforgiveness you've been holding on to for years. Jesus is right here. This is the love of God, that he wants to make you whole, not just to deliver you or heal you or protect you. He wants to save your soul. Jesus. Turn to Mark chapter 2. When you get it, say holla. Somebody there. All right. How many people got y'all Bibles? Y'all real Bibles? All right. Amen. So Mark chapter 2, we're going to start at verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house, Jesus. Word was going around the streets that he was in there. And straightway many were gathered together, and so much so that there was no room to receive them, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reason within themselves. He said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easy to say to the sick of palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorifying God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. They ain't never seen nothing like it before. But tell your neighbor, when you ask God for one thing, He'll give you that and more. Tell your other neighbor, you ask God for one thing, He'll give you that and more. When I was reading this, I thought about, you know how kids around Christmas time, they have this one main thing that they want for Christmas that they ask their parents for. And the parent, because you love them so much, you get them that one thing, and then you get them some more stuff because you love them. They came to God for healing. That's what they came for. But God did that and some more. He exceeded what they thought that they came there for. This was the love of God to me demonstrated. This is what it means when He says He'll do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. When you ask for this, He'll do this and that. So they thought they came for healing, but God also forgave their sins. Y'all remember around August of last year when I was telling y'all about my little school situation. That's why I was so touched when you was telling us about what happened with Trin when I had dropped out of school and stuff. And when I was trying to go back eventually, I basically had got all my privileges taken away from me to be able to return if I wanted to go back. You know, I owe $2,000 back to student loans and all of that. And I couldn't receive my financial aid. At that time, I had taken up to 54 classes. And out of 54 of those classes, I had failed or dropped out of 21. That's almost, yeah, wow. That's almost half. So by the looks of it, they was like, we not letting her back. She playing. She not real serious about school. And if you look at my transcript, like, you can literally see the point, like, when my life really, you know, started to change. But thank God I got the money paid, but then I still had to write the letter of appeal for financial aid. But the advisors was telling me, you know, you can write it, but more than likely they gonna deny it, you know, because of how your transcript look. But, you know, they start messing with me, like, I'm like, man, God, I done messed up, I done failed. This is you punishing me for what I've been doing. I ain't never gonna succeed in life. You know, but then I had to get myself together. I'm like, now, God, I know you had to give me the mind to go back to school, because when I dropped out, I had no intentions of going back. And it had to be God, because y'all don't really like school like that. So I'm like, God, if you gave me the mind to go back, then I know that you're gonna make it all work. And so, like, a couple of weeks before school started back, I got the letter of approval, you know, to go back to school. Won't he do it? And so when I got back in school, I'm like, okay, God, you got to help me finish. So for the last, like, year and a half, this has been, like, my main focus. I've been zoning in. I got to get school done. And this the main thing that I've been, you know, coming to God about. And but on Friday, the Lord just sent me a confirming word. He just told me that you've been asking about school, but I have something more for you. I have something better for you. I have something else for you to do. And that's kind of what this story made me of, how we come to God for one thing, but He gives us that and more. Another thing that when I was reading this story, you see how much faith the friends had that brought the man to Jesus. And another, I think in Luke and Matthew, the same story is in there. It was saying that Jesus was moved by the faith of their friends when the man couldn't even bring himself. God was moved because his friends brought him. Anybody got some friends that'll take him to Jesus when you can't make it yourself? That'll move God on your behalf? Them the kind of friends that I want in my life. And they took him up to the rooftop. When I looked up how the houses were made back then, and I even watched a video, man, it was so cold. Like, they make the roofs out of, like, mud and straw mixture and stuff right there. So, you know, I got to get hard. These people beat through somebody's roof, y'all. I couldn't help but wonder if somebody, like, in the house got hit by something that came off the roof. But I'm like, this was some type of Yes, this was some type of determination. Y'all know these days it's a crime to be busting up in somebody's house like that. You can't just be busting up in people's house. But if Jesus is there, you best believe I'm coming through the walls, the windows, the vents. Y'all better watch out, because if Jesus coming, I'm getting in. But they pressed their way to Jesus. They broke through these people's roof because they needed something from God. And a lot of times, us, when I looked at them and looked at us, it's like we have access to Jesus easily, all the time, everywhere. We ain't got to go around to the roof to get in here. We don't got to stand at the door to pay. We don't got to do it. We can just come in freely. But we still don't come. We still don't come. And I think many times I was thinking about, God, why don't we come? Why don't we come? Why don't we come? And it's like a lot of times we feel unworthy. We feel like God don't love us. We feel like the things that we have done disables us, when really God is the one who enables us. But even then, God still says we are worthy. He thought that we were worth saving, even when we wasn't worth saving. And it's like when God started to, you know, draw me back to him, that's the one thing that he reminded me of, was my value to him. And I saw this demonstration I just want to do. Anybody need $20, by the way? Yeah. I saw your hand first. Come here, Katrina. So she, you say you want this $20, right? I'll ball it up like this. You still want it? Drop it. Ah, wait, I ain't finished. Step on it. You still want it? Mm-hmm. If I spit on it, you still gonna get it?
That's some antibacterial stuff.
Why you still want this $20?
Because I can still spend it.
Take it to Smitty's. I bet you still can get some hot pickle, some chips, a soda. Even though it's been balled up, stepped on, looked like it been through something, it has not lost its value. I might ask for that back later. But it's like, that's how God sees us, even though we go through things in life, even though sometimes you might feel like you balled up, you've been stepped on. To God, you still haven't lost your value. It doesn't matter what you've done. God can still use you. You tore up from the flow up, God can still use you. Just got done doing something wrong, God can still use you. I like when pastors say, whether you did it 5 years ago, 5 minutes ago, or you just thought about it 5 seconds ago, you have not lost your value to God. He wants us balled up, wrinkled up, stepped on. It doesn't matter. He just wants us to come, because he's the one who's going to straighten everything out. We try to do it ourselves, but we didn't even die for ourselves. So we can't fix ourselves. We can't redeem ourselves. We can't buy ourselves back. He's the one that has to do it. And so we think that God has come to condemn us. Like, when I was coming back, I used to be so scared, because I'm like, God, if I, you know, come back, I thought he was going to have to, you know, stand me up to the front, tell everybody, you know, what I did and all of that good stuff. Thought he was going to put my business in the street. But, you know, the truth is, if you ain't living right, your business is already in the street. Because people going to tell it if they see it, especially Brooklyn people. If you want to do something wrong, you better go out of town. You better go out of town. But even then, God still sees you, because he sees darkness as light. And it's like sometimes we be more afraid of people seeing us than God seeing us. Like I said, he sees the darkness as light. He's the one who brings us from darkness to light. And so he's the main one that we should be worried about. But God still wants to use you. And in order for God to use us, we have to first. We got to get around the crowd. Walk up to the roof if you need to. Break through the roof. Whatever you need to do to get to Jesus. We come to God, we want him to take care of our problems. Sometimes, most of the times, we, God, I need this. And we try to hide our faces from God, the things we're doing, and try to hide our heart from God. But it's like God want to look past our hands and get to our hearts. A lot of these things we present to Jesus is just like temporary things. But God wants to look at the big picture and heals what's going on inside of our hearts. Like these people, they came for healing, but God forgave their sins. He was thinking about the soul. The soul. God didn't want to just deliver me from homosexuality or heal me from the things that may or may have not caused me to go that route. He wasn't just concerned about turning me from gay to straight, because that would have been a half job in my eyes, because I still would have had all these other things going on with me. Because in my eyes, I was sinful holistically. I was in darkness, period. Somebody say period. 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 With a T. Like I said in the poem, I was a liar. I was a homosexual. I was a fornicator. I was a manipulator. All of these things. Drank a little something, smoke a little bit, but you know, God did it all. He made me whole. I carry guilt. I carry shame. I was broken. I was embarrassed. And the list goes on. But God wasn't as concerned about my sexuality as he was concerned about making me whole. Like I said, he could have just did that one thing, but even then, I still would have needed him. He was looking at my heart. I know a lot of people was, you know, praying for me and trying to get me to Jesus for deliverance, but God wanted to do so much more than that, and he has done so much more than that, because I knew that if he made me whole, all these other things was going to line up. Everything else was going to have to fall in place. He did exceedingly, abundantly, what everybody was asking. He made me new. He gave me a new attitude, a new love for him. When you love God, you move different. When you fear God, you move different. He gave me a new identity. It's like when God begins to tell you who you are, it's really a reflection of him, because he said that we were created in his image. And so I'm like, every time God showed me who I was, the list of everything that I was doing, you know, just kept getting smaller. It's like God say, Leslie, I've called you to this. So I'm like, oh, I got to scratch this off. Can't do that. If God says I'm this, then I can't be that. He say, Leslie, I've called you to do this. Well, if he called me to do this, got to scratch this off. Can't do that. Leslie, I'm taking you here. Oh, I got to let this go, because this can't go where God is taking me. And so it's like, by the time you get finished, God done made a whole new person. Like when he called Lazarus from the dead and he came off, he said, you got to take the grave clothes off. You ain't dead no more. You got to take off this old stuff, because he brings us to the newness of life. And it's the Holy Spirit that causes us to walk in that newness of life. You can't be walking around with that old stuff on when God has made you new. He said, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? Old things have. And behold, all things. Some things. Some things. All things have made new. So it doesn't matter what's on your list today. Doesn't matter what you've done, what you're going to do. God can still use you, and you don't even have the power to say that he can't, just because you know. He know too, but he said he called you from the beginning. He that has begun a good work in you is going to complete it. And so that thing that he started inside of you, he's going to finish it. He knew the route you was going to take. He knew the detours that I was going to take, like in this building. In order for us to exit, we all got to get out that door, right? But some of us going to go this way. Some of us going to go that way. Some of us going to stop over here at TC and ask them, can we use this grill for the church picnic? Some of us going to go over here to talk to Miss Cynthia about the monies that we need. Some of us might go up the middle, stop at the bathroom, come back in, ask Regina when we're going to Sam's Club to get the meat for the church picnic. You know what I'm saying? But eventually, we all got to get to the destination, getting out the door. And so even though you might take a detour, eventually, you're going to get where God has called you to be. Does that make sense? So what I'm saying is, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, God can use you. You didn't die for you. You didn't hang on the cross for you. You didn't make you. So you can't even tell you that you can't be what God has called you to be, because the Holy Spirit enables us to be that. So if you just fight your way to the rooftop. Just fight your way to the rooftop. God is going to exceed the problems that you bring to him. He's going to do that and more. He came to make us whole. Pastor told me she had a word today, so I told her I was going to get out her way. I'm going to let her teach y'all about this Holy Spirit that's going to enable y'all to do what he called you to do. Yeah.